If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, a word about conquering the darkness. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, and I'll read verses 11 and 12 together. Paul writes, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret." Let's pray. Lord, we live in a world that has so much darkness. We know that darkness is not just the darkness of unbelief in people's hearts and souls, but it's also the darkness of evil, darkness of sin, darkness that is trying to destroy even the country that we're living in. And I pray you just teach us this morning how we're supposed to deal with it and what we Christians are supposed to do about it. I pray you come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Got this letter about a month ago. "Pastor Garner, I've listened to your sermons for a couple of weeks now, but I won't be listening anymore because I've realized you don't preach right. You bring up things in sermons like X-rated pop songs and bad movies, things that Christians should never talk about. And you don't realize Christians are not supposed to judge people or their actions, and especially what unbelievers do, because unbelievers are held to a different standard. So you need to read your Bible before you preach any more sermons at all." Now, there's absolutely nothing that a preacher loves more than being told how to preach by somebody who's never preached a sermon before in their entire life. And that guy is so wrong about so many things, I don't even know where to start. But Christians have a right to question everything you preach and put out there, and that letter does raise a very important issue. How are we Christians supposed to deal with all the darkness in the pagan world and all the bad things that people do? Do we just check out and pull up the drawbridge and hunker in a bunker? Do we just ignore it and hope it all goes away on its own? Or do we engage it and meet it right head on? The text we have in front of us this morning answers that question. We turn today to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. In this part of Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is telling us Christians how we're supposed to walk in the light as the children of God. And our text today tells us how the children of light are supposed to deal with unbelievers and all kinds of worldly things. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today we need to deal with the world and the darkness of the world like God tells us to, so we can bring many people into the kingdom and save this country at the exact same time. Our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, tells us three things that we need to do to conquer the darkness for the sake of people's souls and the good of this country. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to conquer the darkness, we need to avoid it ourselves. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us here in the first part of verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. And that phrase literally means don't participate in it yourself. Don't do what people in darkness do. Because what fellowship does light have with darkness? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And the answer is none. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. So don't act like a dim bulb. And folks, we got to realize that is exactly what Paul is talking about here in the first part of this verse, because too many Christians try to use this verse to say, Kevin, you're not preaching like you should. Kevin, you shouldn't mention rape in a sermon or Billie Eilish songs or Kim and Kanye's divorce, because those are just fruitless deeds of darkness. But notice, this verse is not saying we should never talk about dark things. It's simply saying this part of the verse, we shouldn't do those dark things ourselves. And what's the payoff when we don't? Back in 2003, Coach Scott Drew took over the absolute mess of the basketball program at Baylor University. And he started laying a foundation of joy. Jesus, others, yourselves. Stressing that his players should have a personal relationship with Christ and character and a servant's heart. So over the years, Coach Scott Drew's players did not flunk out of school. They did not party. They did not get arrested for sexual assault. The last 2 years, Baylor won more games than any other team in major college basketball, and last Monday night, they routed Gonzaga for their first NCAA championship. MVP of the Final Four, Jared Butler, said this, I want to thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gets us through everything. He was with us all season. He gives us that joy, and we talk about Jesus, others, yourself, the whole basis for our program. And it's such a great thing to be able to shine for Him and do all of this for His glory. Folks, those guys shine like stars in a wicked and a perverse generation. Philippians 2:15. And why? Because they avoided the fruitless deeds of darkness. But the question is, how many other Christians are? Last March the 17th, 21-year-old Robert Aaron Long shot and killed 8 people, including 6 Asian women, at 2 massage parlors in Atlanta. And the kicker is, Robert Aaron Long is a member of the Crabapple First Baptist Church in his hometown. The guy's a professing evangelical Christian. Talk about doing fruitless deeds of darkness. Last March the 25th, the Georgia State Legislature passed new laws for elections to try to stop all the fraud and the cheating that happened in that state during the 2020 election. And of course, all hell broke loose because the leftists are claiming that those new laws are racist. Jim Crow, Joe Biden says. Like Georgia's bringing back police dogs and fire hoses to keep black people away from the polls. Folks, it's absolutely ridiculous because here's what those new voter laws consist of. Piddly things. A law that stipulates where ballot drop boxes are to be located. A law that shortens the time for returning ballots. A law that continues no excuse absentee voting. Expands early voting in Georgia to 17 days. And what the left considers the most racist, a photo ID is now required for absentee voting. Folks, Joe Biden's home state of Delaware has 0 early voting days and requires a valid excuse for absentee voting. Gee, why didn't Joe Biden tell us his own home state is racist? Silence is violence, right? But see, it's not about voter suppression. It's about voter integrity. And the only reason the left is squawking is because they want as many people voting illegally as many times as possible. And what is the big deal with a photo ID? You got to use a photo ID to buy cold medicine at Walmart. So why shouldn't you have to show a photo ID to vote for who's going to be the leader of the free world? But in spite of that, LeBron James, Stacey Abrams, next picture, and Al Sharpton pressured all the corporations in Georgia like Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines to put pressure on baseball commissioner Rob Manfred to move the All-Star game this summer from Atlanta to Denver, Colorado, taking $30 million of business away from black business owners in Atlanta and shipping it to the whitest city in the entire United States. And why? Because the left really doesn't care about racism at all. If they did, they'd have never nominated a racist and a segregationist like Joe Biden for president. And do you know who it was that helped convince the Major League Baseball Players Association to make that move? Union Representative Jason Hayward of the Chicago Cubs, who's a Christian. It's all based on a bold-faced lie. You talk about doing fruitless deeds of darkness. The early days of his administration, Joe Biden signed executive orders reversing President Trump's policies on immigration. And what's the result? An absolute mess of a humanitarian crisis at the southern border. More children in more cages than the media ever blasted President Trump for. 19,000 unaccompanied minor children came into the United States because of that just in the month of March alone. 10% of them infected with COVID. Why doesn't Dr. Fauci go to the border? What in the world is going on? We know what's going on, and we know what the reason for it is. And all of these things happening along the southern border. And you know what? Last Thursday, reports came out that thousands of these kids had already been sexually molested in facilities that they were being housed in. And you know what? That's all on Joe Biden because it's his policies that are causing the surge. But you know who else is to blame for the absolute mess in this country and all the fruitless deeds of darkness that we see? Way too many evangelical Christians. I'm going to get myself in trouble for saying this, but that's okay because I live in a perpetual state of trouble anyway. If you are really a born-again Christian, how in the world could you have voted for Joe Biden for president? I've had those Christians in my office. Well, I didn't like the way President Trump tweeted. He was married 3 times. He did some mean things. For crying out loud, Christians, this election was not about President Trump's personality or his private life. It was about what President Trump did for this country and for Israel and for pro-life and for religious freedom all over the planet. You know why I didn't vote for Joe Biden? Other than the fact that he's a 47-year liberal political hack. Because all during the campaign, he said he was going to do exactly what he is doing right now. Did you listen to anything he said? Or did you just spend all of your time hating on President Trump? For the love of God, Christians, you have got to open your eyes because you have no idea who the left really is. You have no idea how dark their agenda really is. You have no idea how determined they are to destroy this country and destroy the church. I am not questioning your salvation, but I am questioning your judgment. Everything that Joe Biden does now, you're partially responsible for because you helped put that man in office. Avoid the darkness. Christians, we got to avoid the darkness because it really is dark out there. Really dark. And it's just getting even darker by the minute. Last Monday, March the 29th, Ari and Avital Eisenberg, their 7-year-old son Daniel, who has special needs, and their 2-year-old daughter Esther were all on Spirit Airlines Flight 138, ready to take off from Orlando, Florida to Atlantic City, New Jersey. And everybody had a mask on except for Daniel because he has seizures, and 2-year-old Esther, who was sitting on her mom's lap eating some yogurt. When all of a sudden, a flight attendant came up to them and said the family had to get off the plane. Off. What? They were all beat. And Avital is 7 months pregnant. And Daniel was going to miss taking his seizure medication. Didn't matter. Off. The family had to get off the plane. This is what the confrontation looked like.
I told you, non-compliance, you will have to get off.
I didn't want to do this.
What did we do?
I'm sorry.
Okay, no problem. Just come over with it.
Non-compliance is a mask.
We're wearing a mask.
She's not wearing it.
And why did they have to get off the plane? Because the flight attendant said the 2-year-old girl was not wearing a mask. Are you kidding me? Folks, why in the world is it a problem for a 2-year-old child not to wear a mask? The CDC specifically says children under the age of 2 should not be wearing masks in public. And they specifically capitalize the word not. The little girl wasn't symptomatic. The COVID transmission rate from children to other people is only 0.151%. And adults on that plane were eating without a mask on, sitting next to people they didn't even know. Why was it a problem for that little girl to be eating without a mask on, sitting next to members of her own family? That made her Typhoid Mary or something? Now, Spirit, the woman, that flight attendant, was simply doing, in all fairness, what she was told to do. Because Spirit Airlines does not want to get sued and go out of business if somebody actually does get sick. And Spirit Airlines does have a rule, all children, 2 years old and older, have to wear a mask. But folks, that little girl just turned 2 the month before. And causing people all of that grief. Folks, we are witnessing the death of common sense in this country. Now, the airlines claim the reason the family was kicked off the plane wasn't because the little girl wasn't wearing a mask. The airlines claim the parents weren't wearing a mask before this video even started. But that's not true. And you know why? Because see this black woman who is sitting right across the aisle from the Eisenbergs? Her name is Amanda Dyson. And she's a born-again Christian. And she stood up and defended that couple by telling the flight attendants that couple did have masks on throughout the whole thing, throughout the whole takeoff procedure. And she also said there were other children on that plane older than Esther who weren't wearing masks at all. And nobody bothered to hassle them in any way, shape, or form. So the flight attendants took everybody off the plane. They made some kind of mask arrangement for 2-year-old Esther so the Eisenberg family was able to get back on board and fly back home. And you know why? All because that Christian woman avoided the darkness and stood up and spoke up for the truth. Christians, avoid the darkness because you are the light of the world. And don't you dare ever let that light go out. The first thing that we need to do to conquer the darkness, we need to avoid it. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to conquer the darkness. We not only need to avoid it ourselves, we also need to expose it. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And I can just hear all the Christians already, because I've heard this a billion times. No, Kevin, all we need to do is share the gospel and show the love of Jesus. That's it. Well, if that's it, then somebody forgot to tell the Apostle Paul. Yes, the words that we say and the lives that we live are a critical witness. But according to this verse, it's not enough. It's not enough to do what needs to be done, because there's something else we need to do here. Expose the darkness. And that word expose literally means to point out sin, to call it out and take it on. We see sin, we see darkness in the world, we don't sweep it under the rug. We don't overlook it, we don't try to ignore it and hope it goes away on its own, because it won't. We need to expose that darkness. Does everybody understand that? Because the problem today, too many Christians don't want to expose any sin at all. And in 40 years of ministry, I've heard all the objections. Kevin, you don't preach right, because in your sermons, you shouldn't talk about Marilyn Manson. You shouldn't talk about Instagram models who commit suicide. No. This verse says, have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness. It doesn't say, have nothing to say about fruitless deeds of darkness. Because how in the world can we expose them if we never talk about them or say anything about them? Well, Kevin, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, you shouldn't judge anybody. No, what Jesus is saying there is you shouldn't judge anybody until you clean up your own act first. Then you can judge and should judge, because every single one of us has to make judgments about people and things every single day. A pedophile calls you up this afternoon and asks if he can meet your 10-year-old son in the park. I guarantee you, you're going to make a judgment and tell the guy no. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul says, spiritual people make judgments about all things. So much for that. And I've heard this for years. Well, Kevin, you can't judge unbelievers because they're being held to a different standard. They are? By who? By God? You mean God gives unbelievers a pass and doesn't hold them accountable for not obeying the Ten Commandments? Where in the world do you see that in the Bible? Well, Kevin, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 says that we shouldn't judge unbelievers, people outside the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is talking about church discipline, throwing believers out of a congregation, because of evil behavior. And verse 12, Paul says, don't bother doing that. Don't bother trying to discipline unbelievers and throwing them out of the church, because it wouldn't mean anything to them anyway. You got to understand the context of a verse to understand the verse. Well, Kevin, we just need to show people grace because all are welcome. Yeah, that's a sign that you see in just about every church in America today. The problem is, too many of those churches, that sign means not just that the people are welcome in that church, the sign also means the people's sin is welcome in that church, because too many of those churches don't preach repentance and salvation. People will never want grace until they first of all realize that they need it. One of the ways they realize that they need it is by us helping to expose it in their lives. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, Kevin, that is so legalistic, that is so judgmental. Where do you see that in the Bible? James chapter 5, verse 20. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save their soul from death. You help them turn from that sin by exposing the sin. You say, well, Kevin, where's the love? That is the love. Now, do we do that like a bull in a china shop? Getting all up in people's grill? Of course not. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You do it gently with humility. Just like you wish other people will do that for you. But you still do it. We've got to expose the darkness. We've got to expose the darkness because the darkness is all based on lies. Everything the left and the Biden administration is doing today is all based on lies. And the propaganda media just happily pushes all the mantras. Division is unity. War is peace. Patriotism is terrorism. Marxism is democracy. All white people are racist, but black people can't be. 2 + 2 = 5 until it does. See what we're up against? Last month, YouTube deleted over 2.5 million dislikes from Joe Biden's White House website. Just simply erased them. Because see, everybody loves Joe Biden. Nobody has any problem at all with anything that he's doing. He's the new FDR. And if you don't have a problem with him, what's the matter with you? Are you racist or something? LeBron James now wants to boycott the state of Georgia for fake racism. My question is, why doesn't he boycott China, where there's real racism and communism and slavery and genocide against the Uyghur Muslims? You know why LeBron James will never boycott China? Because he makes tens of millions of dollars a year from Nike shoe contracts with China. That, my friends, is what you call a hypocrite. The left tells us today that the biggest threat to America is white supremacy. Anything that supports that narrative, the media reports it. Anything that doesn't support that narrative, the media twists it, and then they report it. After the shootings in Atlanta, Robert Aaron Long said he did not shoot those Asian women because they were Asian. He shot them because he had a sex addiction. And the FBI even said there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever that those shootings were racially motivated. No, the media said it was white supremacy. It was President Trump's fault. Because President Trump calling the coronavirus the China flu caused white people to hate Asian people. That's what we're up against. After the shooting at the grocery store in Boulder, Colorado, the media right away, probably a white supremacist, probably a Trump supporter, till they found out the shooter was actually a Muslim who was originally from Syria. And then it was, well, we'll probably never know what the motive really was. Last March the 25th, a man crashed his car into a barricade outside the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., killing just as many Capitol Hill police officers as were killed last January the 6th. And immediately the media said, white supremacists, probably a white supremacist Trump support, till they found out it was a black man named Noah Green who followed Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. Ever since then, cue the crickets. Absolute silence. The left and the media are telling us today that there is an epidemic of anti-Asian hate crimes happening in America. But they never tell us who it is that's committing most of those crimes. The video you see on the screen is a 65-year-old Chinese-American woman who gets beaten while walking to church on Palm Sunday in New York City.
The individual we have arrested in this horrific case.
Do you know who the perp was that curb stomped that woman? 38-year-old black man, Brandon Elliott, who was on parole for killing his own mother back in 2003. The people who are committing the vast majority of the hate crimes against Asian Americans are African Americans. But see, the media will never tell you that. You know what the media does tell us? You know what the New York Times said about that black man beating that Chinese woman? The reason was white supremacy. Because white supremacy has caused such a sense of powerlessness in African Americans, they know they can't get back at white people, so they get back at Asian people who just kind of look white. People, that is absolute insanity. How in the world can you have a country with this kind of mentality? We've got to expose the darkness. And that's what I try to do in sermons. You know why I talk about so much dark stuff in sermons? So people who are listening to these sermons will know that it's okay for them to talk about all the dark stuff in their lives. But Kevin, the verse right after this, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 12 says, it is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. Yeah, but you know what that really means in the Greek? It means some things done in secret are so shameful, they probably shouldn't even be mentioned in polite company. But we still have to talk about them. And you know why? Because the devil uses secret, shameful things to keep people bound. You know why I talk about things like sexual abuse and rape in the sermon? So that people who hear those sermons, who are suffering from rape or sexual abuse, will know that it's okay for them to talk about it. so they can open up about it and get healing and deliverance and be set free by Jesus Christ. So if you want to criticize me for that, I'll gladly eat it for the sake of letting people know the truth. That's why I'll even mention that. Last March the 25th, a 21-year-old rapper named Lil Nas X, who was openly gay, came out with a music video to promote a brand new song called Montero, Call Me By Your Name. Montero is his real first name. In that video, he dressed like a stripper, he pole dances down into hell, gives the devil a lap dance, makes out with him, takes the devil's crown, puts it on his head, and becomes the devil himself. And to promote that music video, Lil Nas X collaborated with a company called MSCHF to produce what he called Satan shoes. Air Max 97s, Nikes, he put a pentagram on them, a Bible verse, and a drop of human blood in the sole. He only made 666 pairs of them. Get it, the devil? 666. And except for one pair that he held out for himself, all those pairs sold like that instantly, just a matter of seconds online, proving that you can sell some people anything. Now, Kevin, does that shock you? No, nothing shocks me anymore, the stupid things that people do. Because rappers and singers have been using devil images to try to stay popular and to stay relevant and to sell albums and to get attention ever since Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath in the 1970s. The only thing that's really shocking about that whole thing is how shockingly awful musically that song really is. And I know there's some people hearing this right now saying, but Kevin, this is why so many Christians have problems with your sermons. Why in the world would you mention Lil Nas X and Satan shoes in a sermon? Those things are an abomination. And now everybody who's never heard about it before knows all the slimy details. First of all, if you honestly think that people never heard about this and heard it from me for the first time here today, you're crazy. Because with social media and smartphones, young people even knew about those shoes long before I ever did. And young people already know about Lil Nas X because for some reason he's already been on Sesame Street. And he's got over 7 million followers on Instagram. And that song, Montero, Call Me By Your Name, for some reason is now the number one song in the country on the Billboard charts. So don't be naive and pretend that nobody knew about this before coming to this church today. And here's the deal. Since most people already know about it, why not use it as a chance to teach people God's truth about it? Because you talk about an object lesson. You talk about a teachable moment. Christians, listen to me. Pastors and preachers especially. If you never talk about things that people see and deal with in daily life, if you never mention politicians or celebrities or athletes, if you never talk about TV shows or video games, or any kind of movies or music videos, kids in your church are going to grow up thinking that Christianity is only about the sweet by and by and doesn't have anything to do or anything to say or anything to teach us about life here and now. And I know that because I had that attitude because I grew up in a church where the pastor never mentioned anything that we dealt with in everyday life. But see, Christianity has a lot of things to teach us. Christianity has a lot of things to teach us about that. Like it's stupid to worship the devil because John chapter 10 verse 10 says the devil only comes to steal and kill and destroy. Christianity teaches us that hell is a real place, not for hooking up with the devil, but a real place of suffering and punishment for people who reject Jesus Christ. And little Nas X is going to go to hell too if he rejects Jesus Christ and doesn't trust the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take away his sins. I sold my soul to the devil and all I got was these lousy tennis shoes. Christianity also teaches us the devil never delivers on what he promises because right now Nike is suing him and that company who made that shoes and giving everybody their money back. Now, Lil Nas X sold those shoes for $1,018 a pair, 1018, and you know why? Because that's the Bible verse he put on those shoes. Luke chapter 10 verse 18, where Jesus says, I saw Satan thrown out of heaven and come down to earth like a bolt of lightning. Interestingly enough, though, Lil Nas X never included the verse right before that. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, where Jesus says, all demons have to submit to the name of Jesus Christ. Nor did Lil Nas X include the verse that comes right after that, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, where it says, all followers of Jesus Christ have total authority over demon spirits. So Lil Nas X put out those shoes with the message that the devil is a defeated foe while purposely not telling anybody the only way the devil can be defeated. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ. But see, people can get that message. People can know the truth if preachers use little Nas X and Satan shoes in a sermon. And in these days, when evil is being paraded, and devil worship is considered entertainment, and people need to do spiritual warfare like nobody's business, why wouldn't you mention Satan's shoes in a sermon? You use the spiritual darkness that people do know in order to give them spiritual light that they don't know already. You expose the darkness. Christians, expose the darkness, because now is not the time, believe you me, now is not the time to back off even one single inch. The second thing that we need to do in order to conquer the darkness, we need to expose it. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to conquer the darkness. We not only need to avoid it, we not only need to expose it. Third, we need to fight against it. Because I guarantee you, you start exposing the darkness ain't going to like it. And it's going to start fighting against you. Christians, we got to realize being light does not necessarily mean being liked. But the problem is, too many Christians don't want to fight against any darkness at all. Too many Christians just want to be nice. And they want to go to a nice church where a nice pastor preaches nice sermons about how nice we are and about how much nicer we should be. But folks, we got to realize God has not called us Christians to be nice. God has called us Christians to be good, because nice people don't stand up to evil. Good people do. You say, well, Kevin, if we stand up against evil, we could lose our jobs. Yeah, but if we don't stand up against evil, we could lose this country and we could lose the church in this country. Or hasn't anybody noticed how dark it is right now in America for the church and for Christians? The reason this church has taken a stand against this idiotic lockdown, the reason we have railed so much against the lockdown in the United States, is because the lockdown is destroying the Church of Jesus Christ in this country. One out of every five churches in America will close this year. One out of every three churches has no savings to survive being closed for any long period of time. One out of every three Christians, get this, one out of every three Christians will not go back to their old church after the pandemic is over. One out of every four Christians will change churches. 22% of Christians have already checked out of church for good and are not going to church anywhere or even watching a live stream of any church service. Christians, those are scary, terrible numbers for the future of the Church of Jesus Christ in this country. And you know what makes it even worse? All kinds of churches today are caving to the COVID hysteria by telling their people that they have to have a COVID shot first before they can come back to worship. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, if you get a COVID shot." No, He didn't say that. Oral Roberts University this year went further in the NCAA tournament than they ever had before, making it all the way to the Sweet 16 before they were finally beat by Arkansas. But a columnist for USA Today named Hemal Javeri said that ORU ought to be given the boot and never be allowed to participate in any NCAA competition ever again. And why? Because of the moral code that all ORU students have to follow in order to stay at that school. No profanity, drunkenness, social dancing, no shorts worn in classes, no sexual promiscuity, sex before marriage, homosexual conduct. Students must ascribe to the biblical definition of marriage between a man and a woman only, and the fact that transgenderism is a rebellion against God's creation order. Every single one of those things totally in line with 2,000 years of Christian practice and doctrine. But here's what the columnist for USA Today said. "The hateful, dangerous moral standards of ORU are wildly out of line with modern society and the basic values of human decency. If ORU wants to keep its students tied to toxic notions of fundamentalism that fetishize abstinence, that is a larger issue that can be debated. What is not up for debate, however, is their anti-LGBTQ stance, which is nothing short of discriminatory and should be expressly condemned by the NCAA and disqualify them from any further NCAA athletic competition." No, it shouldn't. Folks, are you kidding me? A rapper named Lil Nas can make a video about having sex with the devil, and that's perfectly fine. But Oral Roberts students believing in the biblical definition of marriage, that's the ruination of Western civilization and far beyond the bonds of human decency. You talk about anti-Christian bigotry. You talk about arrogance. See what the world thinks about us? Christians, we've got to fight the darkness. We've got to fight the darkness because it is absolutely destroying this country. And because it's the radical left that's now running the show, we've got to remember what their ultimate goal is. Always has been and always will be. And that's one world government. Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, one of the honchos behind the Great Reset, said this: globalism cannot succeed with a patriotic country in the way. Wonder who he's referring to. Because people there will vote for their country's own well-being and will not surrender their sovereignty to the global community. And in case you don't get what he's saying, he's calling for the destruction of the United States of America in order to pave the way for that one world government. And don't tell me that's not exactly what the left and the Biden administration is working for right now. Destroying the unity in America by dividing people according to race and color and gender and sexual orientation and economic levels and religious faith. Columbia University this year has 6 different graduation ceremonies because of the 6 different kinds of students they think they have in their school. That's insanity. Joe Biden chipping away at the Second Amendment, using social media censorship to block information and control the narrative, and hammering that message every single day. The United States of America is the worst nation in the history of the world and so hopelessly, systematically racist, it needs to be destroyed. So right now, Joe Biden is in the process of destroying it financially, spending America into oblivion. A $4 trillion budget after a $4 trillion stimulus package, money of which hasn't even been spent yet. Then a $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, only 9% of which has anything to do with COVID. Now another $2.5 trillion infrastructure bill, only 6% of which actually goes to build roads and bridges. So where's all the rest of the money going? It's going to build infrastructure for socialism and Marxism in America. And to create all kinds of brand new entitlements so even more people will get even more dependent on big government than ever before. Then you destroy U.S. borders. Do you know why Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have never been to the southern border yet? Kamala Harris was even supposedly put in charge of it and still hasn't been there. You know why they haven't been there? Because they're perfectly content with what's going on there. And it's not just people coming in from Latin America and South America. Right now there are so many people from all over the world streaming into the United States there. The southern border looks like the United Nations. Flood the country with gazillions of non-citizens. Give them amnesty and the right to vote. Pass H.R. 1. That nationalizes fraud and takes away the rights of individual states to control their own voting process. Conservatives never get elected again. America stays blue from sea to shining sea, and the left stays in power until kingdom come. Folks, it is planned, premeditated, purposeful destruction of our nation. And it's happening right in front of our very eyes. And the only thing that they need right now is some kind of tracking system to keep everybody in line. And bingo, they found it. In a vaccine passport. You get a COVID vaccine, you get a digital record of it. There's your vaccine passport. And why is that a bad thing? Because you and I know very well it's not just going to be used to determine whether or not you had a vaccine. It's going to be used to determine whether or not you have a gun. And who you voted for. And who you associate with. And where you are at any given time. And what you research and Google on the internet. Communist China calls it a social credit score. And it's used to determine what rights and privileges you get to take advantage of as long as you toe the Communist Party line. Last week, the Biden administration, Dr. Fauci, and the World Health Organization came out and said the United States federal government will not force you to get a vaccine passport. And you know why they said that? Because there will be vaccine passports. And because they know it's unconstitutional for the federal government to force you to get one, they'll just use corporations and businesses and stores and airlines and concert venues and professional sports teams to force you to get one. The World Health Organization, the CDC, have been working on vaccine passports for years. People in New York State are already using them. They call it Excelsior Pass. They're using them to get into concerts and basketball games and baseball games. Schools like Notre Dame have already announced no students allowed back on campus this fall unless they get the vaccine and unless they have a vaccine passport. Folks, listen to me. Vaccine passports become mandatory in America. That is the end of freedom in the United States of America. So the question is, who's going to stand up and fight against the darkness? Where's all the Christians right now who are going to take a stand against that? All over the world right now, government authorities are using this pandemic to close churches and stop Christians from worshiping God. Last Good Friday afternoon in Belem, South London, England, Bobbies walked into a worship service at Christ the King Polish Catholic Church and told all the worshipers they had to stop the service and go home because they were in violation of COVID restrictions, even though the priest and every Christian in that room was following masking and social distancing guidelines to a T. So what did the Christians do? They stopped the service and went home because that's what the police told them to do. Last Palm Sunday, Holy Trinity Catholic Church in Dallas, Texas. A 28-year-old pregnant mom named Deidre Harrison was in the service waiting in line to get communion, holding her 1-year-old baby, when all of a sudden two Dallas police officers walked in that church, grabbed her by the arm, and pulled her outside the building, told her that she was illegally trespassing in her own church. And why? Because she wasn't wearing a mask. And why wasn't she wearing a mask? Because Texas Governor Greg Abbott had just lifted the statewide mask mandate. And because she was staying 6 feet away from everybody else in that cathedral. And the CDC says if you stay 6 feet away from everybody else, you don't have to wear a mask. Didn't matter. Now, she wasn't arrested for trespassing, but those policemen told her if she ever came back to that church again without wearing a mask, she would be arrested for trespassing. In her own church. And do you know who turned her in and called the cops? Her own priest. You talk about a sellout. Last Sunday, February the 14th, James Coates, pastor of Grace Life Church, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, was arrested for leading a worship service in violation of COVID restrictions because he wasn't having his people wear masks and social distance, and Canada limits church capacity during the pandemic to 15%. Pastor Coates and Grace Life Church had been running right open ever since the pandemic started and never closed. Ever closed and ignored one cease and desist order after another. So the judge declared Pastor James Coates and his church, Grace Life, a public health hazard and ordered that James Coates be held in jail until his trial date of May the 3rd because he told the judge flat out, you let me bail out, I'm going to go right back and start leading worship services again. But then so many people from his congregation and all over Canada protested in front of the jail. The judge relented and did release him on March the 22nd. And you know what he did? He went right back and started leading worship services again. Until last Thursday, when that judge ordered that church closed and had that church surrounded by riot fencing with guards posted. So the people from that church couldn't even physically get in that building to worship, even if they wanted to. The government closed the church, people. See what the left wants to use this pandemic for? Then last Good Friday in Calgary, Canada, police moved in to try to stop a church service at Bethel Temple. Because a public health official drove by the church, saw a bunch of cars, walked inside. Nobody was masking or social distancing, so she got some police together and came back and tried to shut down the service. Big mistake. Because meeting them right in the entryway of that church was Pastor Arthur Pulaski, who grew up under communism and knows how precious religious freedom really is. So that's how that confrontation went.
Of this property immediately out. I don't care what you have to say. Out! Out! Out of this property, you Nazis! Out! Out! Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed! Out! Do you understand English? Get out of this property. Go! So go! Go! And don't come back without the warrant. Out, Nazi. Out! Out! You understand? Nazis are not welcome here. Out.
And don't come back without a warrant.
Do not come back without a warrant. You understand that? You're not welcome here. Nazis are not welcome here.
Now, in all fairness, the only reason the cops were there is because that public health official asked them to accompany her to that church. But folks, in spite of that, instead of that pastor folding like a card table, he stood up and fought and defended the right of himself and his people to be in that church worshiping the Lord. And he gave those cops so much what for. The only thing they could do is turn tail and walk away. And I know there's some people saying, but Kevin, Christians should show people love. Yes. Sometimes we need to show people the love of Jesus Christ. Other times we need to show people the righteous indignation of Jesus Christ. And that was one of those times. This is what Pastor Pulowski said. I grew up under a communist dictatorship under the boot of the Soviets, where police could break in on anything you were doing and beat you and destroy everything you had for any reason they wanted to come up with at the moment. So it was like a flashback when those police officers showed up at my church. And the only thing I could do as a shepherd was fend off the wolves. They were illegally encroaching on our rights on the holiest day of the Christian year. How dare they? But I did what every shepherd on earth should be doing, fending off the wolves. We Christians are lions, and lions should never bow before hyenas. Now, did that pastor handle that situation 100% perfectly? Of course not. And you know what? If I was in that situation, heat of the moment, I'd have probably done exactly the same thing that he did. But listen to me. I believe with all my heart, one of these days, sooner than later, we're going to have to stand up and fight and do exactly the same thing to defend our right to worship here in this church. Because we not only have a God-given constitutional right to come to church and worship God, God has commanded us to do this. So yes, there's times we need to show the love of Jesus Christ. There's times we need to respect governing authority. But there's other times we need to stand up and fight the darkness. Because push comes to shove. Acts chapter 5 verse 19, we must obey God rather than men. This fight against the darkness is the fight of our lives, Christians. The biggest spiritual battle you and I will ever be a part of. Yes, we need to witness. We need to share the gospel. We need to show the love of Jesus Christ. We need to make sure as many people are going to heaven as possible. But we also have a duty before God to fight against the forces of darkness that are trying to turn this country into hell on earth. But in order to do that, we have got to overcome the fear. And you know what helps us overcome the fear? Knowing that in the end, we win. Because light always, 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 always overcomes darkness. You turn on a light, the darkness flees away. And you know why? Because the darkness fears light. And because Jesus said that we Christians are the light of the world, we don't need to be afraid of the dark because the dark actually fears us. I used to be afraid of the darkness till I realized I was light. Now the darkness is afraid of me. And Christians, every single one of us needs to have that exact same attitude. So right now, stand up, do what's right, fight the fight, shine the light. Get people saved and save this country because John chapter 1 verse 9, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot and will not overcome it. Let's pray. Lord, we are living in a world today, we're living in a nation, we are living in a state that is so spiritually dark. People, the Lord, just bowled over by sin. There's so much darkness in us sometimes because we doubt, we're afraid, we're scared. We do things that aren't right. We don't open our mouths. We don't share the gospel. We don't show the love of Jesus. We let our sinful nature control the spiritual nature. I ask, Lord God, that you would forgive us. But even more than that, today, you would give us a brand new boldness and a brand new courage, Lord, to take a stand, to see people saved, to see right and wrong, Lord, decided, and take a stand for righteousness. I pray, Lord, you would just show each one of us in our own individual way what that means and how that looks. I pray, Lord, you would keep us encouraged in these very dark days. These are the times that try men's souls. But, Lord, we're not going to give up on you. We're not going to stop believing in you. We know that ultimately there is victory in Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, you just keep us going, keep us faithful. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.